This past weekend, New Hampshire poets came together to celebrate poetry. The celebration came at a time when poetry itself is losing popularity. A National Endowment for the Arts survey last year showed fewer and fewer people are reading it. But if you spent a couple of days in Manchester this past weekend like I did, you would have found a community of poets whose passion for the art form is as strong as ever.
Poets who are competing in the slam. We are going to do the draw for order. So if y'all could join me out in the hallway.
At the microphone under the dim lights of Millie's Tavern, Mark Palos attempts to rally the poets. There are 10 of them, and they gather around him in the hallway outside the bar. Nearly all of them fidget with pre-performance jitters. They rock back on their heels, they step nervously from side to side. One poet plays with a yo-yo.
Why don't we all come in a little closer? So I presume that all of you have had an opportunity to read over the structure and the rules.
Palos runs Slam Free or Die, a New Hampshire-based poetry organization dedicated to slam and performance poetry. He passes around a purple crown royal bag filled with poker chips, each with a number. Then the poets huddle like a football team, ready to take the field.
I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and then we all say Vox Pop. You ready? Okay, yeah. 1, 2, 3. Vox Pop!
Vox Pop is the name of tonight's competitive event. Most of the crowd and the performers seem to be in their 20s. Most of them are poets. Lots of hipster scarves, tattoos, pink hair. These are the punk rockers of poetry. The first performer is a guest from Providence, Rhode Island, Chrysanthemum Tran, who calls herself a Vietnamese queer trans woman poet.
French cognates stain the Vietnamese language. For example, the Vietnamese café is derived from the French le café, as in brown bodies bent over colonial cash crop while our nimble fingers pick and pick away. Or ciné, derived from le cinéma, as in armed with cameras, they captured the jungles of these darker colonies.
The crowd is enthralled. Senegal, people nod and shout out Vietnam, when Tran hits the right note. Like Mark Palos says he was shocked years ago when he started running these things to find so many writers in New Hampshire.
Where you have these people that are creative and maybe living a little bit outside the lines of conventional thinking and that are sort of fiercely individual, but they all kind of want to share, but maybe don't quite know how to do that, so a lot of people write.
People like Hannah Dutton, who is a volunteer for Slam Free or Die from Merrimack. She's been coming to these events for more than 6 years, and she says the poets here have become like family.
Here, if you write a really sad poem and you read it on the open mic, there are people who you get an immediate reaction from. It's not you give it to someone, you email it to someone, and like a week later they get back to you. It's immediate. People are clapping, people are giving their emotions, and you're giving your all, and they are also reciprocating that. It's just been a huge emotional outpouring.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the second annual New Hampshire Poetry Festival.
The following morning, at the New Hampshire Institute of Art in Manchester, festival director and poet Jennifer Militello kicks off the festivities. It's a much different crowd here. There's more gray hair than pink, no beer, just coffee and pastries. If last night's poets were the punk rockers, these are the classical musicians.
I don't need to remind you that New Hampshire has a rich poetry tradition, that it's a state full of U.S. Poets Laureate and Pulitzer Prize winners, a state gifted with poetry lovers and inspiration.
Militello says the festival is meant to celebrate poetry, not serve as a networking opportunity for professional poets.
I wanted it to be pure. I wanted it to be about coming together for the sake of poetry and for that celebration aspect and that honoring of poetry.
Still, like last night at Millie's Tavern, most of the people here seem to be more than just readers of poetry. They're writers or publishers or students in a writing program. And this is an issue serious poets discuss, how to get more non-poets interested in poetry. A panel at the festival was focused on poetry and community, and on the panel was New Hampshire Poet Laureate Alice Fogel. She had wondered who might show up to the festival.
Would somebody in the community just come in and listen to that, the way that they might go see some music at, you know, in the evening? I wish that people would think about it in those terms.
She says people may balk at a festival like this because of the stigma poetry carries, a stigma people learn early in life.
How people were brought up in schools, having poetry bludgeoning them, you know, with too much academic terminology, poems that are maybe they can't relate to when they're young, and so it just shuts them out.
It's a sentiment shared by Maudel Driscoll. She's the executive director of The Frost Place, a nonprofit educational center for poetry and the arts based at Robert Frost's old homestead in Franconia. She says most of the so-called canon of poetry is not directly relevant to our modern lives. And if it's not relevant, it's not a great gateway into the form.
You don't have to have a decoder ring that you order with 8 boxes of cereal. Poetry speaks to you or it doesn't.
And she says when you hit the right poem, a poem that speaks to you, you'll absolutely know it. For NHPR News, I'm Peter Biello.